Thank you, team. Powerful, powerful prayer. Stand as we read the Word of God. Reading about the first church, the beginning of the church. Acts 2:42, not Acts, 24 to 47 or whatever's in the bulletin. That was my bad. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled at all at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Quite a few years ago, my friends Ray and Elaine lost their fathers in a span of just 4 days. As I recall, Elaine's dad passed away on Monday and Ray's dad on Friday. I was visiting with my parents, my family was visiting with my parents that weekend, and I went with my dad as he took a casserole to the grieving couple. And when Elaine opened the door, and when she saw that it was us, she melted into our arms in sobs of both grief and gratitude. She needed to see loving faces right then. That's exactly what she said. And we were just in time delivery. That is community. A couple of years ago, the lady who lived next door to us was struggling to survive with 4 kids, a big house, and no husband. Her husband had abandoned her for another woman. I know for a fact that she was in deep depression and she couldn't face life, let alone making sure that her yard got mowed on a fairly regular basis. So I decided to mow it. And it was quite a project with my push mower because the lawn had gotten pretty shaggy. But I pressed on through the thick grass. And then I heard the loud and heavy sound of a big cub cadet. Usually I hear that about nap time on Sunday afternoon. But this time it was when I was mowing our neighbor Stella's lawn. And I turned around to see my neighbor Randy had joined me in the project with his big 60-inch zero-turn mower. And we made short work of that yard. And from then on, until Stella moved, and actually, after all, when there was a foreclosure and the yard sat there and nobody was mowing it, Randy would mow it 1 week, and I would mow it the next. That's community. A couple of weeks ago, I received a phone call from Ruth Homuth. For our guests and for newer people, Ruth moved away about 2 years ago. We've missed her ever since. Anyway, she called me at about 7:30 p.m. on a Tuesday evening. It's funny, when you have digital watches, you remember exact times. And now, a phone call from Ruth is not a surprise because she calls me all the time. She checks in all the time. But this time she said that she needed, quote unquote, an angel of mercy to go and check on Jim Perry, her former neighbor. Many of you know him. He used to be part of ABC, and he comes back to visit us from time to time. And Jim was, as I said, her former neighbor, lives right across the street from where she lived, and Ruth still watches out for him. It was kind of a promise that she always made to Jim's late wife, Nancy, who was also part of our congregation. So Ruth still watches out for him and calls him at, even though she's several hours away, she calls him every morning at 8 a.m. just to check in on him. And that morning, however, he had not answered. And then for the almost 12 hours after of repeated attempts, there was no answer. And so she was worried. So she wanted me to go and check on Jim. So Fiona and I walked down to check on Jim for Ruth. And as usual, Jim was fine. Usually I find him out mowing his lawn when he's not supposed to be, or something like that, or shoveling snow or something like that. But Jim loved the visit from Fiona. And Ruth was relieved. That's community. And speaking of community, Jim's neighbors all around him, Steve and Parrish and Ken, they all check in on him daily already. So no matter what, Jim is in good hands because that's community. Today now, as we are about three quarters of the way through our summer series entitled Revival, Living the Gospel and Restoring the World, I want to show that a key for restoring the world and the church for that matter is doing life together. And that's better known as community. We can't live without it, period. In a society where relationships have been diminished, this core value called community needs to be rightly returned to its prominent place in the church. Just think about it. Even creation was done in community. In Genesis, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." The Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have been community from eternity. Let us make mankind in our image. That's plural. That's togetherness. And it's community. And then look at it again. To be made in the image of God is to indicate that the creation of humanity has community built into it from its very inception. And looking at the text that Matt read to us from Genesis 2, God said from the very beginning, it's not good for the man to be alone. We were created for togetherness. In fact, the creation of the helper suitable for the man included an investment of one of his ribs. Community takes investment. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. Doing life together takes intentionality and sacrifice, and it's all worth it. And as I said before, community is a core value of Christianity. In the last year or so, maybe it was 2 years, As I reread over this, I thought, was that last year or was it the year before? But anyway, we did a sermon series sometime recently on the Brethren in Christ core values. And core value number 5 is belonging to the community of faith. We value integrity in relationships and mutual accountability in an atmosphere of grace, love, and acceptance. But that core value isn't new with the BIC. From the very beginning of the church, doing life together has been foundational. Acts 2:42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship." Acts 2:44 says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. Acts 2:45 says that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Acts 2:46 says they continued to meet together and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It continued. It was going on and on. Fellowship and community. That togetherness really seems to show up a lot there in that text. And you know why? It's because that's the way God intended it. From the beginning of time and from the beginning of the church, community has been a foundational principle. And notice how the church grew because of it. It says daily numbers were added. That society was equally starved for community. But increasingly in society and in the church, in a society that's starved for community, relationship has been moved to the back burner. Ron Sprunger was telling me the other day of his intention to take community back. He said it's been stolen by the demise of the front porch. He told me how the night before, he and Linda had parked themselves in the driveway in front of the house in order to interact with the world. They don't have a front porch. It's been demised, I guess. So they were sitting in a lawn chair in the driveway in front of the house. It was in order, it was intentionally to interact with the world. Before the evening, several people had stopped by for a visit. And the Sprungers regained some territory in culture's quest to destroy community. We live in a world where all too frequently people suffer loneliness in the middle of a crowd. You go to a concert and there's a gajillion people there, but they're all looking at their phone. They're not looking up. They're not talking. You go to a restaurant and everybody's looking at their phone. Over the past months, I've been hearing stories that seem like a Monty Python sketch in the pattern of their ministry of silly walks. I knew that Gail and at least Mary Beth would enjoy this. But instead of being a comedy sketch, this is real. England, actually UK, now has a ministry of loneliness. There are many, many articles on it, so Google it. But the first I heard was on NPR back in January. And here's just a bit of a quote from that piece. And I quote, the UK has appointed a minister of loneliness to tackle what Prime Minister Theresa May calls a sad reality of modern life for many UK citizens. May announced the position Wednesday, appointing current Minister for Sport and Civil Society, Tracy Crouch. I want to confront this challenge in our society and for all of us to take action to address the loneliness endured by the elderly, by carers, by those who have lost loved ones, people who have no one to talk to or share their thoughts and experiences with, said May. According to government figures, more than 9 million people in the UK always or often feel lonely, and around 200,000 older people have not had a conversation with a friend or a relative in more than a month. Easing old people's loneliness can help to keep them healthy. An increasing body of research has found that feelings of social isolation can have profound health effects, according to a government commission. Loneliness is as bad for people's health as smoking 15 cigarettes daily. Loneliness can be triggered by a life event, such as bereavement or becoming a parent. with certain groups such as young people and carers particularly at risk, said Crouch. And I end my quote there. This loneliness is a sad reality in more than just the UK. In fact, Canada is now considering having a ministry of loneliness. And it's a problem here, too, even if we don't want to admit it. I finished this. I had a lot to do with the VBS this week, okay? I had to lead things, and I was worried about getting this sermon done, and the Lord just poured it forth. And I got done with it at about 3:30 in the afternoon. And that evening after all the fun and games were over with VBS that evening, I read an article, and the title of it was, Why is Everybody Lonely All the Time? It just popped up. It was right there. It talked about people being lonely in the crowd. One of the things with the ministry, by the way, one of the problems with the ministry of loneliness is that they're pulling together people to call other people or to give people hugs. And the truth was, people said, I don't want a hug from somebody I don't know. It's got to be real. And so we need to get to know people so that when they get a hug from us, it's the real deal. And they know it's the real deal. There's a problem here in the U.S., but the American way is to say, buck up and smile. We don't need anyone's help. We're all about rugged individualism. But that's not a biblical concept. The reality is, Paul Simon's words, I'm a rock, I'm an island, they're a lie. The truth is, people are dying of loneliness, literally dying of loneliness. And just the last month, headlines screamed that suicide is up as much as 30% over the past two decades. And the ones spreading the news about this, the ones reporting it, seem surprised. Notice on this graph, there's a decrease in Nevada for some reason. Okay? But the light pink is an increase of 6 to 18% of suicides. Notice that most of them seem to be the relatively light pink, which is 19 to 30%, and then notice that there are some states with 31 to 37%, and then it's mind-boggling, and I think it's like Vermont and South Carolina, I think it was, because you can't see the real colors on this, 38 to 58% increase in suicide. And in the UK, NPR wanted to blame it on Brexit. That's making you feel lonely? There are all kinds of reasons given for why suicides are up. But I think that the issue is that God has been increasingly pushed off the radar of people, of humanity, and despair has flooded in. Many people see no option when life seems so empty. But I also know that loneliness is a huge key in this. 70 years ago, Hank Williams' heart cry was, I'm so lonesome I could cry. Today it seems that for many, it's, I'm so lonesome I could die. Instead of giving in to despair and surrendering to a statistic, we need to park our chairs in the front yard and take back community. We as the church need to promote and strive for selfless and life-giving community. We have the answer. We have Jesus. We have the basis. Only Christianity has the community needed. I mean, there's community all over the world, okay? There's different kinds of community, and it's good, but only Christianity has what is needed for carrying out the successful restoration of the world. So since our series is on that subject of restoration, let me take a brief remainder of this talk to show how community restores the world. Gabe Lyons, who wrote the book Next Christians, which is a book that I'm using loosely as a resource for this, he writes, "When community is working on all cylinders, the ripples of community touch the world." And then he goes on to say, "As Americans, we are immersed in a society where independence reigns and individualism is our God. But it's galvanizing the opposite reaction. Instead of creating loners, the pendulum is swinging toward a deep craving for humanity. In other words, people are fleeing loneliness and despair because they know deep down there's something better. What they often reluctantly discover is that loneliness is a huge hole in their soul where only Jesus Christ can fit." That's mine. I came up with that one on my own. Loneliness is a huge hole in the soul where only Jesus Christ can fit. And that's where our mission comes in. I gave some illustrations as I began this talk of community in action. And it can be as simple as taking a meal. It can be as much as spring cleaning a house or taking in an international student. It can be calling Scotty on Sunday morning or on Tuesday night and just saying, "Hey, we miss you, Scotty." But what happens when we serve is that walls come down and people come together. Sometimes that community means serving the greater community. Volumes can be said with absolutely no words spoken when a Christ follower steps in to serve in the name of Jesus. Often, that is all it takes to get the ball rolling toward a more and expanded community. Tuesday morning, I was traveling back from General Conference, and I stopped at a sheet station because I needed strong coffee. It had been a long weekend, and it was going to be a long trip, and I didn't have Kathy to say, "Hey, you got to drive." I was by myself, and I got my strong coffee, and there was a very elderly couple right behind me in line. I turned around to see that they were getting coffee too, because he didn't have a cover on his, and he was holding it, and I thought it was going to spill out. And I got up to the counter, and I pulled out my wallet, and I said, "Can you see what size coffee the couple are getting who are behind me?" And she said, and she told me what size. And then they went to the other cash register. They pulled a fast one on me. And she said, "Oh, apparently their daughter was with them or some relative, and she was getting coffee too." So suddenly it turned into three. But she signaled to the lady next to her that I was paying. And then she rang it up, and I could have used a card, but I had been using cash, and I didn't have enough. I was $1.30 short. And she said, "It's okay, it's okay. I'll cover it." So she stepped into community with me to do something about it. And I just loved that. I just loved that without any kind of hesitation, without any kind of... I said, I could use my card. She said, no. I'll cover it. That's community. And it gets contagious. You get the ball rolling. N.T. Wright says this of contagious community. And some of this quote is on the front of your worship folder. He says that community, he said that, I forget the exact word. It may be that he used the word contagious community. is a place of welcome and laughter, of healing and hope, of friends and family and justice and new life. It's where the homeless drop in for a bowl of soup and the elderly stop for a chat. It's where one group is working to help drug addicts and another is campaigning for global justice. It's where you'll find people learning to pray, coming to faith, struggling with temptations, finding new purpose and getting in touch with a new power to carry that purpose out. It's where people bring their own small faith and discover, in getting together with others to worship the one true God, that the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts. There was a lot of what I just read in that quote. There is a lot of that that happens at ABC. It's in our DNA. It's the hard hands and feet of Jesus. In so many ways, we are that place of welcome and laughter and healing and hope. We come here and we know that we're among good friends and family. But we have to make sure that as we're greeting those good friends and family, that there are other people here, maybe here for the first time, they need to be included. Don't hug them because you don't know them that well. But you know what I mean? You know what I mean? We have hurt with people. We've struggled with people in chemical dependency. We are what Gabe Lyons describes as a community of people who have found healthy patterns of human relating and new standards for how to treat one another, serve one another, and even forgive one another. And that runs counter to the world. And that's what we are. We're counter-revolutionaries of community. Living life alone is a dangerous proposition. And when we enjoy family together or community together, remember there are others that are struggling with that. And some here are saying amen, 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 because they feel lonely. Doing life together is dangerous to the plans of the evil one. Living life alone is a dangerous proposition. Let's be a community that pushes back at the loneliness epidemic and makes an impact for Jesus Christ. God never intended for us to do life alone. So let's do life together and bring the world with us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.